This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Well, for those that didn't catch it earlier, and John gave you a little update, Memphis Shelby County Schools are closing early Tuesday. They have made that decision because of the prospect of severe weather moving through the Memphis area, starting really around 4 p.m. We've had a little one bout of it, but it's supposed to be much worse in terms of wind. I think wind up to 40 miles per hour. Yes, wind gust of up to 40 miles per hour, and tornadoes are possible, according to the National Weather Service, as a cold front moves through the area later on. So district office is going to close at 3. Schools that started today at 7:15 going to dismiss at 1 p.m. If you just get the word, make plans accordingly. Schools that start at 8:15 going to let out at 1:45. Schools start at 9:15 going to dismiss at 2:30. Mine's not getting out early yet. That said, this is obviously serious enough that Memphis and Shelby County Schools have made that decision, yes, to close early. So we thought we'd hit you with the hard-hitting stuff right off top. Do that service for those parents that are just becoming aware of this. Yes, and hopefully it blows over. The kids get out. It blows over without any major damage tonight.
Well, yeah, you know, again, it's one of those deals where when when you're getting word about the storm coming in 2 days in advance, you know, I tend to take those seriously. Now, look, have there been events in the past where, and typically it's related to snow, where we'll get like the, oh, big event coming, big, and then it's like nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, has that happened in the past? I think our meteorologists here do the best they can, but you know, sometimes it just doesn't come to pass the way that the models and the forecast and the Doppler radar suggest. You know, so could this be one of those? I don't know. I have no clue.
We'll know by tomorrow.
We'll know by tonight.
One of us will be right, and one of us will be wrong.
It's the granddaddy of them all, once and for all, to decide who's right and who is wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's one of those things where, you know, I remember.
Has DeSoto let out? Does anybody know? I just see Memphis Shelby.
My wife's, school. You know, Collierville.
They have not.
Yeah. So
my kid's school has not.
It always seems to happen like during the winter, like you would think like in this. I guess Hurricane Elvis was during the summer, but don't you remember that that random Tuesday when it was like 9 tornadoes in this area? It was like 2008. They called it Super Tuesday.
Yeah. But yeah, vaguely, I do remember.
It was like in February.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very random.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would not think November is a time for severe thunderstorms and tornadoes and stuff like that.
No, I'm going to bow out here.
I'm just saying, like, from a climate, it's supposed to be
I'm
colder.
I'm no Dave Brown. Can come in. I'm always ready. I'm always ready, aren't I?
Well, I guess not in this case. You're kind of leaving me out to dry here. Needed a little bit more from you, a little more color on the weather.
No. We needed to hit people with the straight news so they can make plans to get their kids.
And to be honest, it's not even you're not even
no
getting
play,
out that
play.
Early.
Don't play with weather.
You're not even getting out that early. These kids are getting out like 20 minutes early.
Oh, I'd take 1 p.m. if I started at 7:15. I'd take any early. They didn't let us out back in the day. What a gift.
I used to kids. Come and go as I pleased. That was a known thing. Now
I'm sorry.
Oh, at White Station, bro. Peace. I'll see you later. I might come back. I might not.
To go where? To the Wendy's over there?
Well, or home
on Poplar. The Wendy's
I would
on
go
Poplar.
To the Wendy's. I would go home. I would, you know, when you went.
Who was taking you home?
I drove, bro. I had a 1997 Altima.
You had a car in high school.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. My last 2 years.
Ooh, you were a big man on campus.
Like it. That thing was beaded.
Keyword on big, because you were much heavier.
No, I was not, bro. That was not until we go over this once a quarter. You know, that did not happen until freshman year of college. Junior and senior year of high school, totally fine.
I've seen the pictures. You don't need to get so defensive.
But yeah, like back in the day, when you parked in the senior parking lot, they did not. They changed it now. Like, I think somebody comes in and like they have like these, you know, these wires that they lock. They put a padlock on, and you can't leave the parking lot once school starts.
Oh, I didn't even know that technology existed.
Back in the day, so they had more trust. But we could just zoop, and then come back in, and it was no problem, no problem. They don't kids these days don't get to have that freedom.
Well, you're right.
And I, you know, honestly, I understand that.
Yeah.
Because we live in a crazy time.
Exactly.
And somebody
need to be where you're supposed to be these days.
Somebody might leave the parking lot and come back with something. You know what I mean? Like that's what you have to protect against, I suppose. In this day, unfortunately, it's very sad. You know, it's not like something that we were thinking about back then. But yeah, 1 o'clock, bro, y'all can keep that.
Yep.
Superintendent. 12 o'clock, that's like an early day, bro.
Also, obviously, no after school activities, aftercare, folks called off. But yes, Memphis Shelby County Schools.
Jason will watch your child.
That's going to be tough to do.
Service.
That's going to be tough to do.
Are we getting out early?
Again, bottom line. No, we won't hear. Again, my kids, not many other kids, are not getting out early as of right now, and I don't suspect that will change. But for those, again, in Memphis and Shelby County Schools, you'll be getting out a little early today.
Next story.
All right, coming up in about an hour here, we will have kickoff of United States Iran. This is a rematch of U.S. Iran at the 1998 World Cup.
The match.
Do you remember that one? Do you remember anything? Like, give me something here. You don't want to talk about the weather. You don't want to talk about the 1998. Yeah, here we go. Is this the World Cup theme? I'll be honest. I have not watched much of it at all.
I'm right. So why do you sit up here and turn this on me? Talking about my World Cup memories.
Well, I mean, you should have been watching the 98 World Cup. That was a big one. That was when the United States, believe it or not, was like top 11.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
In the world rankings. Mm-hmm. And Iran was like 42nd. And you know what happened? Iran ended our tournament. They kicked our ass 2-1.
We owe them.
And like this is one of those matches, right, where you play Wales, you play England. Okay. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, we can get along with those countries. It feels like there's a real rift here between these two countries, Iran and the United States.
Well, you saw what we did to their flag in the post. Did you see it? We changed it. We adjusted the.
Yeah.
They didn't appreciate that.
Yeah.
So there is some tension there.
Yeah, and like the reporters are coming at our players here.
Get it pronounced correctly.
Yeah. Iran.
Iran.
Iranian.
Iranian.
Yes.
Not Iran and Iranian.
And so, you know, look, I'm not going to get into, and I don't think you would want to get into the political backdrop of this. Do you want to get into that?
Well, the fact that their players have been threatened, that their families might, you know, get physically, or whatever it is, they've been physically threatened, their families, if those players, if they, what's the phrase they use, act up? And I suppose in that instance, they mean not singing the national anthem, because apparently their first match, some did not participate. In the second match, they all did. I think most expect that they will again today.
Yeah, so...
They got pressure on both sides.
Well, Iranian
players.
Yeah, and let's be real. The United States has no pressure. We don't care. We don't care if they lose. I don't care if they lose. It's not important to me whether or not they advance out of group play. Is it important to you? I mean, it's great, sure, whatever. We'll get up for it. But it's not like...
I would like to advance, yes.
Well, of course, but it's not like, if they don't advance, it's the greatest failure on a global scale that we've ever seen.
No, because we are already identified we're a basic disappointment in men's soccer.
We are a football...
National men's soccer.
You know, the United States is a football school, man. We're not a soccer school. It's just not what we do, right? Now, if it's third and long, we got to get a first down. We're going to get it. Not this. So here's the backdrop. The United States has to win to advance.
There you go. Now you're giving me something I can use.
Iran only needs to draw to advance. If they lose, they do not advance. If the United States loses or draws, they do not advance. So there's only one way the United States can advance here, and I don't think they will. I think their season will end. Their World Cup will end today. I just have no confidence in their ability to score enough goals. That's the problem. They can't do it. They don't have that guy, pal.
So I think the I think the World Cup run is going to be very short and sweet. And
Jeff's going to be right about the match.
He's going somewhere.
He's on assignment.
Yeah, he's going somewhere. I don't know where he's going.
I always thought those were fun stories to write about other folks watching an event, a big event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's only like a couple places you would go to, like really.
Brass Door.
And Celtic.
Okay.
There might be maybe one other here.
There'll be some spirited gatherings today.
Yeah.
Like United States giving something to cheer about.
But no, I do not in fact believe that we will win.
We don't want to hear your negative outlook on losing today.
It's not negative. It's just
on
real.
The outcome today.
We don't have good players. We have very average mid players. And that's what – there's only one guy that we have who's like worth anything, and that's Pulisic. And so, like, can he make some magic happen? I don't know. Is he going to have to? That's what it's going to boil down to. Otherwise, we're going to be on that long flight back to the crib. Anyway, 1 o'clock, we'll be covering it. We'll keep you up to date. U.S., Iran, for all the marbles. Winner advances. Loser goes home.
Next story.
Mentioned this a little bit earlier. Jerry Jones, very interested in getting Odell Beckham Jr., one of several headlines. In what's been a relatively low-key week leading up to week 13, what are we, through 12 weeks now in the NFL season, the news with Odell was that he was kicked off that plane in Miami. So, of course, these reporters are coming to Jerry Jones, asked him, does that incident matter to you? Odell says he was asleep on the plane before it took off. You know, he's got a whole other side of the story, but he was escorted off by officials. He is 30 years old now. He's coming off an ACL in the Super Bowl last year. John pointed out, yes, he did catch a touchdown in that game before suffering that ACL injury, but was very valuable for that Rams team. The question is, could he be close to as valuable for this Dallas Cowboys team that seems to be coming together at the right time right now? You can run, as our man Mike Wall pointed out earlier this week, you can run on that Dallas outfit. There's no question. Now, Mike Parsons probably going to be Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL this year, but you can get physical with them and run on them. They've shown that this year. That said, everywhere else they look pretty good, and offensively seem to be coming together like we talked about. That rapport between Dak and CD seems to be growing. So the question becomes, do you need him? And if you decide you have, like Jerry Jones decides you do, as Jerry Jones seems to, he's hell-bent. He thinks this year's their Super Bowl year. Again, this messes up. Pollard, Zeke, you got a good thing going right now with those guys and with the receivers you've got. Do you think he could be even close to as impactful for the Cowboys as he was for the Rams last season?
Probably not, based on, like you said, the time he's not going to have to develop that rapport. But, I mean, I do think he is – I mean, he's still a contributor. He can still be a contributor, which is they're going to pay him nicely nothing. You know, he'll get a vet minimum, and he'll come in, and he'll just be one more, you know, weapon that the defense has to worry about. Just, you know, kind of like – he'll probably be a slightly better version of Julio Jones. You know, Julio Jones kind of is just out there, but he can still come up with a big first down every now and then. And you have to give him attention. Well, how old is Odell?
30
years old, but he's coming off that big injury, obviously. He's younger than I thought. I thought he was like 34. He's not that old. So I don't know. Maybe he can. Maybe he can be a number 2/number 3 for them. I mean, he's an upgrade over Noah Brown. I believe that. So that's
we haven't seen him on film. We don't know in what kind of
the last
condition
time we saw him.
Physically.
How about that? The last time we saw him, he would
absolutely
be an upgrade over Noah Brown. He would be their number 2 receiver. You know, and it's fun to think about. I mean, it feels like a perfect place for Odell Beckham. Doesn't he feel like Dallas Cowboy?
I think the potential of creating any kind of drama or waves in Dallas when you seem to have a good thing going right now can always cause some issues, especially with Mike McCarthy at the helm, a guy who I've never thought of as a, you know, with Mike Tomlin, okay, you don't worry about Antonio Brown. Mike McCarthy's not a guy who squashes out drama real well, put it that way. So, again, if Odell's not getting targets early, could he be a guy raised? I would think for the greater good at this point in his career, he's not so selfish. In a way that he used to be. I just like what Dallas has got right now. You're right. I mean, you make a good point. Could he add to it? Could you just pick up a first down every now and then? You're not asking him to go in there and be the number one. Sure, you could if he's in decent physical shape. I just don't think necessarily they need it. I think where Dallas's issues are right now is what they need to solidify. Do like Philadelphia. Make sure your run defense is stout. you know, address areas that are weak right now. I suppose some Dallas fans would say that receiving core is. I'm not one of them. I see it coming together.
Well,
I'm not one to give Dak more options. I like with what he's doing right now, where that offense is with the run game, the way they're including Pollard, Ezekiel. I say if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
What would you recommend Odell Beckham
especially
go,
not knowing in what condition he's in?
Where would you recommend him go?
If I'm an NFL team, I'm asking myself, is it worth it? You know, at this point physically, need him to come in past the physical. I don't have a situation, John, where I look at it and say, okay, Odell puts him over the top. How can you when he's coming off an ACL? If you're going off what Odell was when he tore the ACL for the Rams, that's one thing. We can't go off that.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we can't.
Not again, my whole thing with Dallas, you're on the rise right now. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Jerry's got a tendency to add when he doesn't need to. I think you might be doing it here. I'd be looking maybe for a run stopper off the street. Ndamukong Suh, whatever, was sitting on the couch. Go pick up somebody to help stop that run. Yeah. Address areas where you're weak.
Next story.
In the world of college football, we've talked a little bit about it, but it is the story of the day. Hugh Freeze finally finds his way back to the SEC. He has agreed to a deal to become Auburn's next head coach. This is from John Cohen. Quote, after a thoughtful, thorough, and well-vetted search, we ended where we started with Hugh Freeze. Of all the candidates we considered, Hugh was the best fit. Fit has several meanings, but the most important factors were student-athlete development, football strategy recruiting, and SEC experience. Six-year deal, average of $6.5 million annually. He's been at Liberty, as we know. That is sort of where the redemption tour began, and they have been better than ever at Liberty. They beat Arkansas last month on the road in Fayetteville and beat them pretty good, honestly. we know that he was really good at Ole Miss, beat Alabama from 2012 to 2016, got A.J. Brown, got Laramie Tunzel, and then, of course, the controversy at the end. There are some things that are, I think, kind of interesting. Like there's debate about who is he relinquishing control of his social media accounts. Now, he says he has not. And will
I know
not.
I've saw the conflicting reports on that.
Yeah, so he says he will not relinquish control of his. But you know, you got to wonder, like, and I do think it's true, and there are a lot of coaches who suffer from this. Like Dan Wolken pointed out that, you know, Hugh is a guy that probably will never be able to fully do that because he's consumed by criticism and he wants to convert people, you know, who are, like, there you've seen a million times. People who will post screenshots of direct messages because they've been critical of Hugh, and he'll message them and say, "Hey, you know, I'm praying for you," or you know, some variation of that, right? But you wonder at what point, if you're Hugh Freeze, where you don't do that anymore. You just like you either stay off of the app, or you know, you get out of that mode of trying to make everybody a believer because you know you can't. And I do think, like at some level, you've come all the way back, man. You've come all the way back. You were out. You had no, you know, you couldn't get a Group of Five job. Liberty, with the Falwells and everything they got going on, was the only place that would give you a shot. And you have come all the way back. That stands on its own. That speaks for itself, as from my perspective. But of course, you know, Kevin Durant still gets, you know, he'll still go back. He'll go back and forth with people too. I don't know. Like you just feel like at some level there is a threshold of success that you cross where you're just like, I don't care, you know, what this dude, you know, tweets about me.
Well, you got me thinking. I mean, Lamar Jackson, we just saw this instance this weekend where a guy came at him about the don't pay him the $250 million or whatever it was and sort of set him off. He put out a tweet, expletive-laced tweet apparently, had to take it down. But you saw him, Lamar certainly reached a certain level of status now as a former MVP of the league where you'd think, okay, well, you can cut that off or that criticism shouldn't bother you. Listen to Marcus Spears talk about this too this morning. It's easy for us to say it shouldn't bother you. Tune it out. You heard Harbaugh talking about how he's talked about with Lamar and those players particularly, but this applies to any instance, especially right after the game. Right after a loss, you're going to go out there. All it's going to be is negative. His whole point of and Lamar even – to your point about trying to convert guys or Freeze, trying to convert people that don't believe in him, there is no positive in that because there's always going to be someone out there that's trying to draw you in into that. So if you keep going out, you keep wanting to battle it, there's never going to be any shortage of folks that continue to come at you. And when you show that it bothers you to that point, John, that just invites it more. I mean, KD and the whole burner thing. I mean, that when you find out how sensitive it is,
yep,
that just invites it more, and so then you've got to live with it that way. I'll continue to harp on, you know, is Hugh Freeze going to stay off social media or try to convince people he's a good person or a changed person? Probably not. But what he's going to have to realize is there is no positive in doing that in terms of doing the job you have to do at Auburn right now. And that's right? Those two things have to be separated.
Yes,
and probably are best suited to be. Again, you know, easy to say, develop the tough skin or whatever else. We've all got our lines. Lamar certainly had his line. I mean, they've been criticized before. They've blown leads, lost games. Lamar's been, hey, you can't throw. He's managed to stay away. But the one about his money got him. So my point, we've all got our line. And, man, it's just become a cesspool, dude.
I don't get outraged about, you know, because we're talking about college football coaches. And would it be ideal if they were, you know, role models? I suppose, yes, because that's kind of the job. You're you know, bringing along young men, but there does, I think, at some point have to be a suspension of disbelief that the best role models are not who's getting these jobs; it's the best winners.
I've known that for a long time.
And would it be great if the two were the same? You know, yeah. Like I think Nick Saban's probably a great role model. Like I feel like he would say that he's, you know, it hasn't really gotten in any kind of, you know, issues or anything like that. But, you know, how can we vouch for the majority of the, we don't know. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, like we truly have no clue what's being said or done behind the scenes anywhere, NFL, college football. So I just, and by the way, this doesn't just apply to coaches. It applies to players as well. Like I don't go to bed at night thinking that all these dudes are saints, you know, like, oh man, this guy is just, you know, a Memphis Grizzly player, man, he is just the best guy in the whole world. I don't know, and it's not my business, so I don't waste time or energy worrying about it. You know, is it his private life? Then I don't care. If it gets public, that's a different story. But if it's his private life and he's handling his business and he's handling his affairs and he's like winning games and all that and he's putting up triple doubles in the Garden, whatever. I mean, does that make me depraved? But that's how I come at it. And I feel like if Hugh Freeze wins games and he gets recruits and he's, you know, competing in the SEC West, then, you know, that's the only thing that's going to matter. That's the only thing that really should matter.
I just have a hard time thinking he would, after it's been so publicly laid out, his fall, that he would fall into the same traps. Not to say we don't go back, but when it was that public, hopefully he's learned something from it.
Yeah.
Clearly. And, you know, for Auburn, rest of the SEC West on notice, I would think. This is a guy who can come in and win big.
Mm. Oh.
And with those resources, there's no
question about it.
As long as he doesn't trip himself up again, there's no reason to believe he won't.
Yeah, and this goes back to our conversation that we've had, you know, many, many times about, you know, being able to, you know, differentiate man from coach or athlete, you know. I kind of think if you're going to be a fan of sports, I feel like you have to do that. Otherwise, you're just going to be disappointed a lot. People are going to disappoint you. That's life, and that doesn't just apply to like being a, like in your daily life. People are going to disappoint you, but if you come at this like, oh, I need everybody that I'm a fan of on a basketball court or a football field to be a good person off of it, you're going to be let down because they're not, and they're just like anything else. You know, like they're going to do things that you don't agree with. They're going to, you know, they're going to say things that you disagree with. I mean, that's the world we live in, and that's fine with me.
I know like one person like that. It's Thaddeus. I can't think of one bad thing. I'm dead serious.
Right, right, right.
And no, and I probably could come up with a list.
Well, no,
but that dude, I mean, he's living right. You ain't never seen a bad word about Thad.
Well,
or a bad thing written.
There are absolutely.
But it's too important. But no, to your point, we all fall short, John. I mean, yes. It all goes back to that.
Yes.
Nobody's perfect.
That's why like,
holding up your sports idols as heroes probably going to lead you to disappointment at some point, especially if you follow them close enough to be involved in the personal life or be reading about that.
We get
all that.
I see people on Twitter like clutching their pearls about Hugh Freeze and like, you know, my God, man. I mean, what are we supposed to do here? I mean, would I recommend it? I'm not sending Riley to play for Hugh Freeze, but, you know, that's not what this is even about. that's a totally different, you know, deal that they're, you know, I don't know. I just feel like when you start wading into those waters, it is slippery, man. You know, it gets real slippery real quickly. I'm not rooting for or against Hugh Freeze. It's not like I'm sitting up here saying redemption for him, man.
Yeah, I can't say that I am either. I'm not rooting against him.
Oh, he doesn't deserve. Like, here's the thing: we forgive a lot if you can get the job done. You know, in whatever industry you work in, whether you work in media, whether you work in sports, mm-hmm. whether you work at Imperial, you know, which some of us on this show have done in the past.
Yeah, proudly.
If you take, you know, copious notes and you're diligent in what you do, yeah. there you can be forgiven for a lot of things.
When you quit at Taco Bell.
Well, again, you know, I was given a woman's shirt.
I'm just saying to walk off.
But doing
it in a very classy manner.
I've learned a lot.
You left that on. You left them beans to another employee. He had to double his beans load because you just want to walk off and quit because you got a girl shirt on.
Think about that. Well, why was
that? Not very classy at all.
Well, I don't think it was very classy to give me a girl shirt. I mean, a man should not be wearing a shirt that zips up. Now, should he?
I just think about who you were. Do you remember your coworkers? You didn't think about them, did you, when you walked up?
I think we're going to be able to hold it down. And as you know, I also was not allowed near the food. I was the cash register man. Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but the point is that if you are good at what you do, we are willing to forgive a lot in our culture. And that's probably the way it should be. Like, you freaking didn't commit a crime, I guess. I mean... Maybe, I don't know. You have to look into that somewhere, some nuance there perhaps. But, yeah, I feel like it's always, you know, Twitter and people on there, they clutch their pearls and nobody's ever supposed to get a second chance and nobody's allowed to ever, you know, reconcile the things that they've done. And
sounds like John going to be in the free suite at the Auburn games, doesn't it? That sounds like you're going to have tickets there.
Well, I think he's going to do a great job. I mean, he's going to get quarterback there. He's going to put up points. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, all this stuff, too, about people have caught up to Hugh Freeze. I can't tell. Guy's won every level he's been at.
I mean, my goodness. Yeah, where has he not won at? He went to Liberty and got a friggin' second-round draft pick out of that.
Arkansas developed Malik. Whooped BYU this year, didn't they?
Whooped Arkansas this year. In Fayetteville. Which is what he's going to do at Auburn.
He's going to turn him into a national title contender.
That's the game that got him hired at Auburn.
As long as he doesn't, you know, slip up again personally.
Yeah, like, but. I think Alabama fans have.
I hope for him and his family he doesn't slip. I guess I don't know if that's rooting for Freeze. I just hope he's.
Well, yeah.
Again, if that's rooting for maturity and learning from mistakes, something I hope to do and strive to do every day, then I'm rooting for him in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of not winning games or losing games.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look.
But as a person who hopefully has changed in some ways myself, yeah, right. I'm always rooting for people to change and learn from mistakes. I guess I can say I'm rooting for Freeze in that aspect.
Right, and there are details that people will come with about, like, the Briarcrest days, which I am just so...
Me too, man. Like, I covered the preps. I covered Freeze at Briarcrest. I won't touch it. I won't be a part of that.
Because I'm not...
Me either.
Yeah. It's like I'm not privy to it. I'm not,
and I'm not going to bring rumors and speculation
exactly
to the
right.
table.
Exactly. All I can discuss is what we know publicly. You know, like that. All I can credibly discuss is what we know publicly. And I am a person who believes in, like, if you're a talented person and you're not a crime, you're not a danger to society, then by all means, I think you should get a chance and an opportunity to ply your trade without judgment. Because, I mean, who am I to judge, my man? You know? Who are any of us to judge? I mean, you got to think about how arrogant it must be, how arrogant you must be to ever judge somebody. You know? Like, I do my best in my daily life to just say, you know what? Like, that person's got to be going through something, you know? That person, I got to give people the benefit of the doubt, man, because, like, again, who am I to judge? I got my own things going on, you know? Who am I? I'm not on some pedestal. I'm not on some perch here. I'm just another human being out there like you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't judge people. People make decisions. Sometimes they're bad decisions. I think we owe people grace where we can give it, you know? If we ourselves... are not the victim here. You know, I think that's a different conversation when there are victims And there are, you know, but this, by all accounts, is, you know, not that what we're dealing with here. So, anyway, Hugh Freeze is, and look, you know, that is probably the case for Auburn not making the hire, that we just had that conversation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about recruiting. It wasn't about beating Nick Saban. It was about, like, all the other stuff. But eventually that will cease. Eventually that does not become a topic. It's a topic for a day, and then guess what? It's going to be who he hires. It's going to be who he gets in this first recruiting class. It's going to be, you know, how good they are a season from now. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, Alabama fans now have to actually worry about Auburn for the first time in a long time. That's my upshot of it here. It's not like you grew on easy street with Harsin and the years prior to that, but it's a real thing again with Hugh Freeze. So he is the man. He gets the job in Auburn.
Next story.
I got one more. I just thought this was a little bit ironic. How about last night at the Lakers game? Not sure if you saw this. You might have saw the outcome. Lakers lost. That's not a surprise. Lost to the Pacers, 116-115. At halftime of that game, guy comes out of the stands, hits a half-court shot for $75,000, runs around, does the gritty, whatever else, gets a hug from Anthony Davis. But for the team right there on the court, and for the team that's, what, dead last in three-pointers made per game, 28th in the league in three-point percentage, this dude goes right off there and nails a half-quarter first shot, takes one step, John, knocks it down. You ever hit a half-quarter?
Like on an NBA floor? No.
Half-court in your life?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Stop. No, you haven't.
A half-court shot?
What, like a church?
Yeah.
No, you likely have not. This dude comes off, wins $75,000.
Half-court shot is
not just embarrass the Lakers, by the way, the fact that you do, in a way, but the fact you get $75,000 to it, too. You take their money, right? I'm sure you paid a little money to be in the building. You get money from them knocking that thing down. And folks can't hit three. They can't hit the side of a barn this season. Guy comes off out the dang seats and hits a long-range bomb. Mm. Then they lose
to the Pacers, who are 12-8.
Halliburton,
Miles Turner. Don't forget Miles.
You keep wanting to bring him into the conversation.
He had 15 and 13.
You had a discussion with someone about Miles Turner.
Bro, I've been on Miles Turner. I've been on Miles Turner for years.
That deal with just Miles does not help the Lakers. Got to get Buddy Hield in there.
Yeah, but I'm saying Miles Turner was great.
Difference
last
maker,
night.
Yes. What year is he in the league?
He's not been in the league that long, bro. Miles Turner's only, he's 26. He came in 2015.
Okay.
He's not, I mean, but he would help. He would help big time. He's a good player, especially defensively.
You have a weird infatuation with him of late.
I'm a Miles Turner truther. What can I say?
$75,000 for the gentleman who hit the half-court shot last night, embarrassed the Lakers, took their money. Lakers lose.
It just gets worse and worse. And LeBron's back. That's the thing.
Yeah, like AD, they got AD LeBron still losing the Pacers. Led by 17 points in that game, lost.
It's like, it's, you know, when you're
it's done.
When your heroes fall off, it happens fast. I mean, Tom Brady out there losing the Browns this weekend.
Yeah, he looked bad.
He missed.
Did you see him after the game?
He missed Mike Evans like four times. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, another one, for sure. He stinks. Matt Stafford won a Super Bowl. Now he stinks.
They get old. Your heroes get old for real.
It's not like a slow decline. With Tom, it has been, right? Has he declined? He's probably taking a step back. He's still a guy I would not want to see in the playoffs, honestly. But maybe that's naive. Maybe I'm just holding on to hope here.
The ayahuasca sped it up for Aaron.
There's no doubt. But when it happens, man, it happens fast. So enjoy while you got them, because it gets. I mean, you lose at home to the Pacers when it's time to fall off. I tell you what, the Lakers need shoot 360.
I knew where you were going.
They need shoot 360.
They do need to go there. Stat.
Because they ain't got nobody they can rely on, you know, from three.
Nope. Because my man Monk left.
Now he's banging home threes for the Kings. Nothing worse than that. Man went to Sacramento and balling out. That's something else there. But Lakers need to shoot 360 because they can learn. LeBron can learn where he needs to work on his jumper, his arc, his depth, his directional. He can get that muscle memory. It's never too late, Bron. It's never too late to improve your game. He can do that at Shoot360. It's right here in Memphis. So if you got a young one, niece, nephew, daughter, son that loves basketball and you want to see them get better at the game with their skills, take them to Shoot360.
Yep, walking to the place, 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville, you'll be blown away like we were. Your kid's going to be sucked in, too, because all of it's so interactive for them. It's going to be like they're playing a video game. You look up in 30 minutes, they've shot 250 threes, 250 shot attempts. That's how you get better. That's how they do it out at Shoot360. We call it the future of basketball training. They make it super, super affordable as well. Can do a bunch of different packages, but a one-year commitment, 12 months at $130 a month is a great deal. I'm here to tell you as a father. Get out there now. Again, it's at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. It's the future of basketball training in Memphis, and the future is now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Shoot360.
It is a great time to head over to the Wing Guru, because right now you can get 50-piece party wings for $49.99. I hear a lot of people talking about the price. The Wing Guru has never been better than it is right now. My go-to flavor is garlic sriracha. I like to, you know, really do it up, do it big when I head over to the Wing Guru, and garlic sriracha is the way I go. It's got that perfect zest, just enough heat. I love it. But you may want Nashville hot. You may want the regular hot. You may want something even more exotic, the lemon pepper, whatever. It's all there at the Wing Guru. Head over there today.
Try the Triple J for Jaren Jackson Jr. Heck, for the way he's been playing, you might as well honor him and quench those taste buds. And you're going to absolutely love the Triple J flavor. There's so many to try. John's mentioned in his just there last Thursday over at the last Tuesday over at 5699 Mount Moriah, the original location. Wife got the five whole wings with seasoned fries. She likes hers lemon pepper. I did 10 boneless Nashville hot, split them with CJ. That's the way we do it at the Wing Guru. How you doing it? When you see Billy Richmond, the former Tiger basketball player turned Wing Guru King, you tell him that Jason and John sent you.
We're getting ready to kick off here in just
exciting.
A few minutes.
Yeah. Very exciting time.
Yeah, I wish you going to get on that TV over there. What,
we
bro?
Still got time. I got time to get it on.
All right. Just making sure. There was a conversation on, I guess, was this on Instagram, Jason?
No, it would have been on Facebook, Jason.
This is on Facebook. Okay, sorry. You know, I'm old, man. I don't know my social media like that. And there was a conversation between some former Tiger basketball players about, I guess the topic was Alex Lomax. And, you know, as we all have known and lived through over the last, you know, 4 years, he has been a very divisive player as these things go. And was it Will Coleman who posted?
Yeah, the original post was from Will Coleman. A couple other Tigers players, a few other former Tigers chimed in, and it was sort of the conversation itself. You heard it. The ESPN guys were talking about the criticism. I'm sure Penny Hardaway had clearly briefed them on it, the criticism that Alex Lomax has endured during his time at Memphis. So it's documented, chronicled. We've certainly talked about it here. But the commentators brought it up quite a bit during the Old Spice. ESPN Events Invitational used to be the Old Spice. Commentators brought it up quite a bit. And Will Coleman put up a post on Facebook basically saying, look, you know, ALO's taking a lot. This is last ride. Realize that constructive criticism is one thing. His point was that it's gone past that. to a point where, you know, you're messing with the man's character at this point, as I'm reading from his post now. His mental, his emotions, he's got one last ride. Let's not make this kid hate that. But more because we've heard other Tigers say that as well, come to his defense.
Yep.
And I'm sure Alo appreciated that sentiment from Will Coleman. But I saw a comment to his post, again, from a former Tiger, one that I covered, Farrakhan Hall, who obviously grew up here in Memphis, went to White Station, obviously started Seton Hall, but comes back home to be a Tiger. And his quote was this, I found much more interesting. The city that loves to hate their own, shaking, he put SMFH, okay, that's the, but to his point was that we as a city, you know, our own guys will tear them down, maybe to a point that's somewhat unique. I've driven around the last couple of days thinking about it, because this was a post that Will put up a couple of days ago after Tiger's last game, thinking about what Farrakhan said, how we'll tear down our own. And maybe, you know, for me, it even crossed over to, okay, the Dolph, you know, killing, and sort of what some have said about that, how man can't even come back home. You know, got a hit out on him, you know, obviously have been charged with that. But man can't even come back, you know, home in this instance, or at least the place where he grew up. And got me to thinking, do we have a tendency to take our own, in this case Alex Lomax being that, and just tearing them up, maybe more so than other cities do. Now, Farrakhan's a guy who's been all around the world.
Yep.
Right? And so again, for these hometown guys to be saying, my city tears us up, that's a, you know, they're all each entitled to their opinion. And to feel that way, clearly there's something, there's enough out there for some of these guys to believe in. The question I've been asking myself the last couple of days is do we? Are we? Do we tear them up? Do we eat our own, just in terms of Memphis and how critical we can be of some of these guys?
Well, I think
are we different than other places? Are we unique in that aspect?
I think that's the crux of the deal here, is that, you know, Memphis is such a unique place because it's an urban city with an urban university, and you know, like a urban, like media, like a top, you know, we're a top 51 market. And for so many years that Memphis basketball was the thing. And so there is this underbelly of great passion and great attention. And, you know, and it's not always like that. And probably not like that at all. In most major cities, most big cities have other things that they're watching, that they're paying attention to. But in Memphis, we know they are one of the two. It's Grizzlies and it's Memphis basketball, you know. And I have no energy in arguing about the order, but like that is the two. And so I think what happens is there is this great attention and this great pressure that is applied, especially to local kids who play here and who are from here. And I think there's probably an expectation on their behalves that because I am from this place, I am from home, that I would be absolved from criticism if I or my team does not, you know, reach the heights that we were expected to reach. But what sort of clashes with that is, you know, the media machine. You know, you go to New York, you go to Boston, and I'm not saying Memphis is exactly like that, but it's sort of the same way it works, Philly, whatever. There is an expectation of winning. And when you have talent, you win. And when you don't, you get ripped. That's the way it goes. And so I think that because there's been underperforming over the last 10 to 12 years, you know, it probably feels like to them that they have been, you know, unduly criticized, when, you know, from our perspective, it's just been calling out what it is, which has been underperforming. So my long answer and my short answer is no, I don't think Memphis eats its own. I just think there has, like, do you think if Memphis had been going to Final Fours and Elite Eights that we would be having this discussion right now? No. It's just that success has not accompanied the majority of the players that have come through here, you know, since 2010. Just the way it is. And that's why they feel that way.
Yeah, I think I was working along, and I didn't read all of Will's posts, but it seemed like I'm with you that the media adds to this. But his was more about how fans come down. And I realize media scrutiny
leads to that,
but his was more about the fans, him calling some of them fair weather.
Yeah.
You know, you're sporting Alex one day, then you go hard. I'd ask it this way. Do you think, looking from a fan standpoint, take media scrutiny, some of it honest, some of it maybe unfair, take that out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if you're Alex Lomax, you look back on your time fondly at Memphis?
Well,
if you're thinking about how fans embraced you, whatever else, do you look back fondly on it, or do you look back on it like Joe has told us he looked back on it, whether that was media or whatever else, and it was toxic at times.
Well,
do you think,
like,
he'll say, oh, those years were great years?
Well, no,
or has it gotten to a point where, again, you're calling out for what he is or what he's, but all of that trickles back down to him, right, in terms of,
right.
and it piles on everything else. So I'm getting to something here. If Alex Lomax doesn't leave Memphis and say, I had a positive experience there where I enjoyed the fans and all of it, right? What about the next Memphis kid?
Mm.
You know, does Alex Lomax tell him, man, it was tough for me? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And is that Memphis kid better off perhaps going somewhere else?
Well, I don't think that.
To be honest with you, because
I don't think that.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, John, if we're looking at the real truth, it's different now than it was back in the day because the criticism gets so close to you because you go out there like the conversation we had on social media and it's absolutely everywhere. It's different in a time where guys were being criticized by local columnists and then folks just had a talk around the water cooler about it, but it never got out there and never got public. It's a different day and age now,
yep,
to where that can have an effect on your experience, how much you get, how much criticism.
Yeah.
This isn't a conversation about whether it's fair to level it, what Alex is as a player. It's just about how much he's gotten, mm-hmm, over his time there. And is it a lesson? Is it at all anything, an example for other Memphis kids who may or may not face that sort of scrutiny,
well,
criticism, whatever you want to call it? In some cases, I guess we've criticized Alex the person, according to
well,
Will Cole.
No,
I'm saying we fans.
I don't think anybody has ever criticized.
I don't think media gets on Alex the person.
Well, I can't say I've spoken to every fan, but I doubt that is happening. I doubt that fans are attacking Alex Lomax's character. They might be attacking his jump shot. They're not attacking who he is as a person.
But should that energy be directed at Penny? That's the point.
Well,
is that,
yeah,
Alex gets all of that.
Yeah, but it's easier.
But he is what he is.
It's easier to take it to Lomax, though, you know, than it is to take to Penny. Honestly, because of, you know, he's Penny.
But so to your whole point earlier about not judging, what we should be doing is not judging Alex is what he is.
Right.
That criticism should be the fact that Penny
exactly right.
keeps rolling him out there
to
put him in that position. That's another conversation. But again, I keep going back to the point.
Right.
Of is that a good experience for him to a point where he's telling other Memphis guys that are coming up through the ranks,
yeah,
that Penny Hardaway is going to want, that this is worth it,
well,
that it's still worth it. We used to tell you Memphis would always take care of you.
Well,
we said that about local Austin Nichols. We said
that's true.
Memphis will take care of you for life if you pick Memphis.
Okay, but there was an asterisk with that. Like you got to be pretty good. You got to be like, you know, I mean,
not my point. It was part of the pitch, bro. Right.
No, it was.
It was the part of the pitch to Memphis kids,
it
the
was.
Good ones, to stay home.
But I do think that it is. Directly reflective of how successful the player is or becomes too. Like, unfortunately,
Joe was extremely successful. He, until Alo, he was probably the most scrutinized. That's one place I agreed,
yeah,
with Josh on. He was extremely conference player of the year, everything,
yeah,
else. Different than Alex in that fashion.
Yeah.
Different.
Well, I mean, people have tried to help Joe at every turn, though.
Well, I'm talking about his career. We're talking,
yeah,
about his career, not Joe post career.
Yeah.
We're talking about Joe his career.
Yeah, I mean, look,
And we scrutinize the hell out of him.
I think what happens is the Memphis kid that stays home, his experience is going to be more extreme, to the good or to the bad. That is what I like. If your team is amazing and you make deep runs and you do what, you know, the 73 team did, or 85 did, then you are forever a legend, right? You are forever, you're immortalized in this city. If you come here as a local kid and your team does not have that success and you kind of struggle, and Joe didn't struggle personally, his teams did. You know, how do we feel about Chris Crawford? You know, do you think Chris Crawford would say that his experience was negative? I mean, I'm genuinely curious. Like, what does Chris Crawford think about his time at Memphis?
I would assume that he thinks the what he got from fans in the program was positive.
Right, because
In terms of how he was used, Josh, if you're adding that into the experience, I'm sure he has.
Is it because his expectations were lower because he was lower ranked out of high school? Like, what's the psychology there? You know?
I just don't think he was that guy. Joe was that guy that invited that team.
Joe was
that guy.
Joe was a McDonald's All-American.
That invited that in. On this team, it's Alo.
Yeah. Well, look, I just think people don't think Alo is a good player, and they don't think he can score, and they're sick of seeing him. That's like, at least in terms of,
again, if that's the point, to that point, I would say, again, if you're going to do that fairly,
yes,
levy that towards
the coach,
Penny Hardaway.
The coach, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Who has given
because
him that
again,
role.
Because, again, you're going to at some point, you're going to want another Memphis area player on your team.
Yes.
You're going to want him to have a good experience.
No, it's true.
So you keep bashing the player for what he is or what, more importantly, what he isn't. You know, you're adding to the possibility of, okay, some of these guys are going to say they didn't have a good experience.
But, you know, I think if Will Coleman,
I'm going to tell you this, I'll just be straight out honest with you. Of course, if Penny Hardaway came after my kid at some point, be super interested, right? But if my kid was in possibly going to have ALO's experience, would I think twice about sending him to Memphis? Maybe so.
Does CJ
maybe
have a jump
chance
shot?
Of that? Maybe a good chance. Don't try to simplify it in that way.
I mean, or make light. But that's that does have something to do with it.
I wouldn't want my kid to go. I'll boil it down. I wouldn't want my kid to go through what ALO's gone through.
Well, he wouldn't.
And I realize some of that, to your point, has been, okay, the media scrutiny, which leads to the fan scrutiny and everything else. But that's my point is, it's got to be hard for that dude. Hell, you talking about somebody that should just turn social media off.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, it's everywhere out there for him. Would I want my kid to go through that? You think about what ALO's father was saying how things were going.
Look,
that's hard.
It is hard. But we both know that if ALO was not who he was, and if he was some kid from, you know, Coral Gables, Florida, he would have been gone 4 years ago. You know, I think that's the frustration too. Is like he continues to have this role that he really is only getting because of his connection to Penny Hardaway, and people are frustrated by that. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I understand that. Again, that should be levied a penny.
But they, you know, it's like, you're right. ALO is simply just
because from a standpoint of representing the program you care about, when has ALO let you?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.